the Zoom Room Room for our Wednesday morning session. This is a production of Tony Broom Ministries.
With my whole heart, Lord, let me love you with my whole heart. None above you, let me love you. Lord, let me love you with my whole life, with my whole heart. That's our desire, and that should be our desire, to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart and with all of our soul. And I know you do. You've heard of Ephraim. Ephraim is one of the tribes of Israel. And Ephraim also refers to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom is the kingdom, the part of Israel that went idolatrous and went bad, and they never had a good king. So Ephraim not only refers to a tribe, but it refers to the northern kingdom, the wicked, worldly part of Israel, and we could relate it to the church. So Psalm 78, verse 9 says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." This brings to us verses 2 through 11 of this psalm, lays before us what we will call the Ephraimic heart. The Ephraimic heart goes along with Ephraim. The Ephraimic heart is a heart that we don't want to have. The psalmist says, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." The Ephraimic heart goes against what it knows is right. The Ephraimic heart turns back in the day of battle instead of turning forward and facing the enemy. "I will utter these dark sayings, mysteries to the world, but realities to those who are in the kingdom of God, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." We would call it today, "Give me that old time religion." And people say, "Well, the old time religion is out of style. The old time religion does not have any place in our generation today." And you see what happens, brothers and sisters, family and friends, when we get away from the old-time religion. You see exactly what happens in our world and the shape and condition that it's in right now. When we have an ephemeric heart, a heart that runs after our own ways, and instead of listening to what our fathers have told us, we make up our own rules and we go our own way, and that results in what we're seeing in our world today. The psalmist goes on to say, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. To hide the goodness of God from the generation that we're living in is the most detrimental thing that we could do, because it keeps us back from receiving all of the blessings of God that he has in store for us. We cannot afford to hide the blessings of God from this generation, because this generation, like no other, needs to know what the value of a true heart is. We say that when we hear our forefathers talk about their World War II stories and their Korean War stories and even the Vietnam stories and all these stories that goes back, some of our people who are still living that talk to us about the Great Depression. Well, I would say that all of us, even if you happen to be old enough to have lived during the Depression, you have not seen times and things that we're going through like we are right now. This generation will have a story to tell to the generations to come. Instead of talking about World War I or World War II, or instead of talking about Hitler and Mussolini, and instead of talking about Churchill and Eisenhower and Kennedy and all the presidents, instead of talking about the wars, we're going to be talking about Corona. We're going to be talking about the virus and the pandemic and the outbreak and the stories that will be told in generations to come. We cannot afford to hide the goodness of God from the generation that we're living in, because our world needs to know about the goodness of God. We will not hide them from them, to show unto their children. Our children need to know the power of God, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Look what the Lord hath done. We need to share and to show what God has done. If we stop and hide in a corner, every time the enemy says boo, every time the governor says hide, every time somebody tells us what to do and run away, we will not be able to have a testimony to show to our generation to come the power of God, the praises of God. You can put people in their homes. You can put people in a certain place, and there are times when you have to do that. But you cannot stop people from praising God. You cannot stop the church from worshiping God. Wherever we are, and it doesn't matter, the underground people have worshiped God. You've had people that have to worship God in close quarters. They've had to worship God in secret. It started in the resurrection of Jesus. That very day they were there, the doors being shut with fear of the Jews, and they had to worship God in that way. And Jesus came. What did he do? He stood right in the midst of them and he said, peace, be still. And that's the way it happens now. He's still in our midst, wherever we are. When Israel, they sinned against God, they broke God's heart, he took them into captivity, but he said, even though you've done all this evil, I will be like a little sanctuary for you right there where you are. I will be a little church for you. You don't have to wait to get back to church. You don't have to wait to get into a brick building with stained glass windows. You can have your church right there where you are, because it's not the building, that's the church. Preachers have preached that for years. People say, yeah, I hear you. Well, it's more than just hearing you now. You know what we're talking about. It's not the building that's the church. The building can be vacant. The building can be empty. The building can even burn down. But the church, praise God, is still alive and well. And it's not the building. It's the people who make up the church. For he established a testimony in Jacob. he gave a testimony. It says, look, the testimony says this is what God has done. Well, what did God do? What didn't he do? He created us. He made us in his image after his likeness. He brought Israel. You can jump over as far as you want to go. You can't hit it all, but he brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea into the promised land. Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den. And when Jesus was on earth, look at the things that God did. He opened blinded eyes, caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the mute to talk. He raised the dead. He saved the lost. And that's the kind of God we serve. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. The testimony says this is what God has done. The law says this is what we ought to do. And this is the part where we fall so short, because we have an Ephraimic heart. The Ephraimic heart goes against the law of God and doesn't do what God tells us to do. He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We're to make known the testimonies of God. We're to make known the laws of God to our children. This is a generation that needs to hear the praises of God, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We get on to our younger generation because they're not passing on to their children right values. And a lot of times we haven't passed on right values to this generation. We say, well, we don't want our children to be like we were. We were deprived of having money. We were deprived of having things. We don't want our sons and our daughters to be like that. So we're going to buy them everything that they need and everything that we even think they might want. And we go in debt and we hurt ourselves and we kill ourselves trying to buy love and trying to buy the things in this world, the material things. And even the Beatles said money can't buy you love. So if they had sense enough to know that money cannot buy us love, that's the way it is now. You cannot buy love. You can't even hardly buy toilet paper now, much less love. And there's a shortage of all these things. They got all this oil. Well, let them drink the oil. That's what they get for making billions, millions and billions of dollars off of poor people who can't even hardly rake and scrape to make ends meet. And all these rich fat cats are sitting by and the chickens done come home to roost is what's happening. We have to be able to arise and declare to our children the goodness of God, that they might set their hope in God. Your hope is not in the government. Your hope is not in the stimulus check. Your hope is not in the Social Security check. Your hope is not in a bailout and a payoff. Your hope is in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope has to be built on God Almighty and not forget the works of God. The Ephraimic heart is a heart without hope. The Ephraimic heart is a heart that has forgotten the works of God. When we forget the works of God, what else do you have to stand on? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You have nothing else to stand on if you forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that's what he said. You will have no other God before me. Don't make to yourself graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Over and over he says, don't steal, don't kill. Remember the Sabbath day, honor father and mother. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not covet anything your neighbor has. And the commandments of God, that's just the Ten Commandments. But he says, keep his commandments. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? If you love me, keep my commandments. Might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A stubborn and rebellious and liberal going to hell generation. That's the Ephraimic heart. That's the kind of heart it's talking about. A generation that set not their heart aright. Their heart was not right with God. The Ephraimic heart is a heart that's not right with God. It's a heart that runs after their idols and runs after the ways of the world, runs after the God of this world, who we know as Satan himself. The Old Testament says, Ephraim is joined unto idols. Let him alone. because he's gone after his own way. He has an Ephraimic heart. And their spirit was not steadfast with God. A spirit who is not steadfast with God has a relational problem. It's a relationship problem. The Ephraimic heart is a heart without relationship with God. It's a heart that has not been changed. The Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. There's teaching out right now that says you don't have to confess him out loud. You just say yes to Jesus in some kind of way. No lordship salvation. Well, the Bible does teach lordship salvation. If he is your Savior, you need to make him your Lord. And he is your Lord whether you make him your Lord or not, but you need to acknowledge him as Lord. Paul said, yes, you believe with your heart, but you also confess him with your mouth as Lord. If you confess the Lord Jesus and that God has raised him from the dead, you believe it, you will be saved. With the heart, man believes to righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Your heart is to be right with God. Your spirit has to be steadfast with God. You can't just make a once saved, always decision. You got to get up every day with a purpose to serve God. You may not orally said out loud, but you have to have a conscious decision in your life to serve God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They had everything they needed. They were armed. They had the weapons. They had the swords. They had the spears. They had the bows. But they turned back in the day of battle. It's not because they didn't have the equipment they needed. Everybody's talking about equipment. Give us more testing. Give us more masks. Give us more equipment. Give us more this. Give us more that. We have a gimme, gimme, gimme generation. Their name must be Jimmy because they like to gimme. They gimme generation. We have such a generation like that now. But the children of Ephraim, they had everything they needed. The thing that they didn't have was the right kind of heart. They had an Ephraimic heart. And they turned back in the day of battle. If we turn back, if we forget the blessings of God, our generation will go to hell. It will do more than be full of a virus. It'll be full of hell fire. It'll be full of all kind of sin and iniquity. There's more in our nation, in our world, than a virus. It's called sin. It's called that which deprives man of a relationship with God. And the peace that passes all understanding and the love that covers all sin. That Ephraimic heart will cause you to turn back in the day of battle because you have no courage, you have no peace. They kept not the covenant of God. The Ephraimic heart is a covenant-breaking heart. It's a heart that refuses to be right with God. It will not keep covenant. It will not keep what they say. They say one thing and do another. And refused to walk in the ways of God. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. The Ephraimic heart is a stubborn heart that does not keep the ways of God. They forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them. This Ephraimic heart is a heart that is unredeemed and has to be changed by the power of the living God. Jeremiah talks about the heart. Chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Praise God, we can trust in God no matter how bad it gets around us. 1,000 would fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and he shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God will make sure that no matter how bad it gets around us, that we will see the blessings of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This Ephraimic heart is deceitful. It's a wicked heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, that is the limits. God knows your limits. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows about this Ephraimic heart. And he's able to heal us from this kind of evil and wicked heart. He's able to give us a heart that will run after Him, a heart that will seek the face of God, a heart that will do us good all our days and will lead us into the presence of God. Father in heaven, I thank you that we can come together as a people of God today. We can come together in this Zoom broom room. We can get together and worship you. And I pray today that you would seal this word to our hearts. Let us be encouraged and blessed and lifted up today. Let us lift up others in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to part of a Zoom room session teaching from Psalm 98. The title has been The Ephraimic Heart. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.